Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
What's up, Scaredy Cats? How are you guys doing today? Welcome to another Freaky Friday episode of the Scaredy Cats podcast. If you guys are new here and are interested in true crime, scary stories, and more, make sure to add us to your favorites and tune in every week for a brand new episode.
And to stay up to date with the podcast, or if you like to interact with us, follow us on any social media at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. And thank you guys so much for 11.5 followers on TikTok. You guys are so awesome. It's like insane how we're growing. Yeah.
It's so crazy. I didn't even notice it till I was like posting TikToks on our page, and I'm like, oh snap, we hit 11.5, because we were at 11.2, and then before that we were at 10k. So the fact that we're at 11.5, like that's a huge milestone. This wouldn't be possible without you guys, and we're happy that you guys are enjoying it.
We just started this podcast out of the blue so to see us grow and to have, you know, you guys out there listening to all of our episodes, it really does make us feel good, and we're super thankful, because then that keeps us going with more episodes. Yeah. You know, for you guys,
and you know, there's more fun stuff to come for the future. We're always like working on the quality of how these episodes come out, you know, adding little like sounds in the background, or even just the soundtrack, just to make it, you know, that vibe and make it scary. So we're always looking to make these episodes the highest quality possible. So we're just glad you guys are enjoying it. But without further ado, guys, sit back, relax, and grab yourself some snacks, because we're going to be talking about a Mexican urban leyenda, which is a Mexican legend. And if you guys haven't checked out our other urban legend episodes, go give those a listen after this one. We did one on the Llorona, which was creepy. Like, we actually put in some legit audio recordings of her, which are said to be the most realest ones out there. I believe that's episode 9, so go give that a listen after this. With all that being said, today's story honestly gives me escalofríos. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives me the chills, because it's about El Charro Negro, which is a devilish horseman, and this legend is very popular. It originated in Mexico, obviously, and it is said that each pueblo, which are small towns, have their own versions of how the Charro Negro appears to them. And if you guys have any stories, or your parents have stories about El Charro Negro, let us know anywhere on our social media pages. We'd love to read them, but let's begin. El Charro Negro used to be a regular man who was going through a midlife crisis and having a lot of, you know, financial problems. It was said that he came from a very humble family who was just thankful to have what they had, but Charro became overly fascinated with the finer things, such as money, clothes, cars, and, you know, just a rich lifestyle. It has been stated that there was a time where El Charro went weeks without eating in order for him to save up enough money to buy himself a super expensive sombrero. This dude was determined.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, I ain't eating. I'm gonna be out here looking nice.
Yeah, like this dude starved himself. Yeah. He's like, forget about nourishing myself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get this sombrero.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I'm gonna make myself
look
good.
That's dedication.
Fast forwarding a few years later, El Charro's father passed away. And a little after this, his mother passed away, but they were from natural causes. And just like anyone else, he was devastated and became super poor. Like, he just wasn't mentally okay to work. He was just so devastated from his parents' passing, to the point that he started to research how he would be able to make a deal with the devil in exchange for riches.
That is like a huge like thing. Yeah. To like think about, like, after like all that, I'm sure, like, you know, he was going through a lot, but like to be like, okay, I'm gonna look up stuff to like do deals with the devil.
Yeah,
like I don't think I've ever... Crazy. Yeah, I think it's crazy, but imagine being at that point in your life. That is insane.
He must have been like really like bad.
Yeah,
like to just want to like start researching how to sell your soul in exchange for money.
It's insane, but that's in fact what Charro did. There are many versions of what he did next, but one of them states that Charro actually went out to the woods and did a ritual that would then summon the devil. And once the devil was upon him, Charro began to beg and ask for a better life. So the devil offered him a deal that Charro couldn't resist, and it was said that the devil offered him an insane amount of money that not even in a lifespan like you can get, you know.
Yeah, it was said that not even in two lifespans
he would even be able to spend it. Yeah. So that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of
money. Honestly, like, personally, I don't don't know what I'd do if I had like endless amounts of money.
Yeah, neither like, would I.
What would be nice? Yeah, it would be nice, especially right now.
Not in exchange for my soul, though.
Yeah.
Like if I was able to make this, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
But I would not exchange my soul for that.
But he had to give something back in return, which was El Charro's soul. But he didn't want the soul right now. He wanted Charro to experience his lavish lifestyle first, and then one day he'll return to collect his side of the deal. So since he basically was already like planning on doing so, he accepted the exchange without hesitation.
Yeah,
and like,
isn't that
would you
though?
Accept it right away like that?
So like me personally, no, but if I was in El Charro's position, kind of like at his state where he's very desperate, if I was like in his shoes, I probably would have, because he was basically planning on doing it anyways. So that's why he just accepted it without hesitation. But if it's me personally, no. I would not like, even, like, heck no.
Yeah, honestly, I would never, ever, in this life and in the next, make a deal with the devil, because that is literally just, like, you're basically not even living life after that.
I wonder if it's, like, that stuff is actually real. I just don't know. Like, sometimes it, to me, sounds kind of like fairy tale, but then you never know.
I'm honestly a little scared thinking about it, because like, guys, imagine this right now. Like, there's someone out there like playing with the devil, like selling your soul,
like summoning them. Like, yeah, that just sounds creepy.
Yeah.
So as El Charro lived the lifestyle he has always wanted, he became to grow tired of it as he got older in age, and he stated that he was tired and mistaken that he would like this lifestyle. But hey, to the devil, like we said, a deal is a deal. It was said that a few years later, the devil appeared to him to collect his soul, but Charro began to grow afraid what was coming, so he started running away from the devil, and he even tried going to church to ask God for forgiveness. He's all like, you know, I'm mistaken, I don't want this anymore. But like, dude,
he's like, I don't know what I was doing.
He did a deal with the devil. But you know, but Charrito couldn't hide for long, so he collected all the money he had, filled his pockets with a bunch of golden coins, got on his horse and rode away, hoping that nobody, not even the devil, could find him. But one night, as he was sleeping in the woods with his horse, he was awakened by someone saying his name. He said that he heard someone saying, Charrito, Charrito. He said the voice kind of echoed throughout the woods, and soon after hearing this, the devil appeared right in front of him and said,
Ya es tu tiempo, Charrito.
Basically meaning, you know, your time has come. Charro then began to beg him not to, and that he would give him anything else in exchange. But the devil laughed and said that when he first appeared to him, he was reconsidering collecting Charro's soul once he passed away. But since he tried fleeing, he's all like, I'm gonna collect it now.
So like, basically he dug himself into a deeper hole. Like, he could have just like sat there and let it happen, but instead running away made it worse.
Yeah, so he was gonna wait until basically Charro passed away to collect that soul. But since he started running away and basically trying to trick the devil, he's just like, you know what, I'm gonna collect it now. This is what you get for running away from me. That's so messed up. Like, that's crazy stuff.
And that's what happens, guys. That's what happens when you try to run from the devil.
That's why you don't even make deals with the devil to begin with. Yeah, literally.
But before he could say anything, Charro's skin began to burn off, only leaving his bones. Once the devil had his soul, he said that the horse had to be cursed so he can accompany Charro on his way to hell. But the devil said that from time to time, I want you to come back to the service and charge my debtors. And that if he behaved good, the next person who accepted the deal, he would pass down the position to that person, and El Charro and his horse would then rest in peace. And that's one story of El Charro Negro. But people that have seen him state that he was dressed in a really fancy black suit, riding throughout the town in a gorgeous yet horrific black horse, with glowing red eyes, or others have described them to look like balls of fire. Locals from the pueblos have stated that if you want to see El Charro Negro for yourself, just travel the outskirts of Mexico City and he will appear to you. You have to travel alone.
Heck no.
It is most common to see him in the outskirts because there's not a lot of people around. He appears to people more than when they are alone because he finds them to be much easier to target and make the people fall right into his trap. So let's talk about some of the encounters people have had with him. And guys, these are legit. Like, these were on the Mexican news and you can find them on YouTube. And guys, like, these are some crazy stuff.
Yeah, guys. One lady had an encounter with him, stating that he stands next to a specific tree, and this tree is called a pirul. I think I'm saying that right. A pirul tree. And I looked it up to see what kind of tree this was, because I didn't even know. But it said it was a pepper tree. So, I mean, I've never seen a pepper tree in my life. But that's where he's commonly most seen, like just standing next to a pepper tree in the outskirts of Mexico.
A pepper tree.
Yeah, a pepper tree.
He's like, the devil's like, man, this tree looks nice. I'm gonna stand right here. Yeah.
But the lady said you can also find him there by that tree with his horse at 12 at night. He'll just be chilling there if you want to go make a deal with them. Then she also recalls a story that happened about 50 years ago about a man who was out in the woods late at night and had an encounter with El Charro. It said that he offered a lot of money, but since it was something, you know, like the man had never seen before, like this random thing just appeared out of like nothing, like he was shocked, and it said that he went mentally insane. And to this day, people don't know where this man is. Like, he just ran away and he just became like mentally insane, turned himself crazy.
It makes you think too, with like a lot of these people, not saying that this is, you know, happens to everybody, but yeah, just, you know, like stories like this, it makes you think like, is this really real? Could this really happen? Is this possible? Like, especially in the world we live in.
Like, yeah. And in Mexico, like these kind of stories are like no stranger to
yeah,
them.
Yeah. It's like it's not the, hidden.
They have El Charro. They have freaking La Llorona.
Yeah.
Duendes, which we also did an episode on duendes.
The like Chupacabra.
They have, yeah, the Chupacabra, they have everything.
Like, everything there. Honestly, I have never been to Mexico, and, like, when I hear stories like this, not really sure if I want to go to Mexico.
Yeah, like, people see these things on a regular. Yeah.
Well, it's crazy, too, because, like, I remember when I was younger, there was this video that popped up on YouTube where these witches were seen in Argentina and stuff.
I remember
and
that.
Everybody was like, yeah, no, it's real, like, it really happens. And then I was like, no, then, you know, it probably doesn't. But then the older I became, I'm like, I don't know, a lot of these Latin countries and, you know, Mexico and stuff like that have a lot of connections with stuff like that, the spirits and all.
So, I mean, maybe we'll have to take a trip to Mexico, see if we catch anything.
I know.
You know, see if we catch anything out of the ordinary, or we can go see El Charro standing next to the tree
the
at 12,
tree.
12 at night. There was also a lady who had a house that she rented out next to a location where people would see El Charro Negro appear. She said that people who rented out the house wouldn't last more than 2 weeks before they moved out. So she began to ask the people who previously rented there that why were they leaving so quick? And, you know, like this was, she said she fixed up the house, the water worked, like everything was working smoothly. And it was just like a cute little house out in like the fields, like the farmlands. So like we said, she began to ask, and most of them said that they would hear strange noises coming from the woods behind the house, and that oftentimes they would hear whispering. And then when they looked outside the window, they'd see this man standing by a tree looking into the house. And they stated that this dude was like, it was like kind of like a mist, but it was shaped like a human body and it had red eyes. They never said anything about seeing a horse, but they just said that there was always like this black, you know, shaped
like
outline
figure
of a human, like figure with red eyes standing by a tree, like right outside the window where they looked, and it was looking like into the house.
Honestly, too, guys, like, personally for me, if I was in that, you know, situation, I would honestly get a priest and have him bless, like, the land that I'm playing, like, the house is on. I'd have him bless the inside, because you never know, especially, like, with moving into new places. I feel like, traditionally, it's always good to have it blessed, because you never know what was there before or what, some, you know, whatever's lying in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and what's creepy about this is that another encounter a few years ago, which is very recently, a farmer who has his ranch close to where this lady's house is at installed cameras by his horse's stable because he claimed that his horses would begin to wild out during the night. So he wanted to see it for himself, like, you know, what was causing my horses to freak out. So a few nights after getting the cameras installed, he caught something bone chilling. As his horses were freaking out, the side door to one of the stables opens by itself, and you can see a shadowy figure walk away into the woods. You can like kind of sort and make out like the shape of a human and what looks like a horse. Like, I'm not even lying and like making this up to fit this whole story. I saw this video for myself. If you look it up, like if you look up El Charro Negro, the horse stable, you can literally see it looks like it's like galloping away, like slowly galloping away. And it, you know, like I said, it looks foggy, and I mean, you can't really tell, but I was able to kind of like depict a horse and somebody sitting on it. So I don't know if it was my mind kind of just like tricking myself into thinking that because I'm writing the script to this. But, you know, like what scared me about this encounter is that it was very recent. Like, I think it might have been like 2012 to 2014 throughout that like time gap. But it's just creepy because he's still wandering around.
Well, another thing is too, to me, like I always found it interesting how animals can see things that we can't,
especially horses.
Yeah, horses. And like it just makes you think like, okay, if my horse is going crazy, obviously there's something out there. Just like when you know, when you hear your dogs barking, you're like, okay, somebody's out there. Same thing applies to this. Like, I just find it crazy how like these animals are so like, it's just like, they have a third eye. But it's pretty spooky because there was actually a YouTuber who went to do a paranormal investigation in a cemetery in Mexico. But after a while, he said that the energy kind of felt like off. And when he was trying to talk to the spirits, he heard a horse. He then shone his light behind this big tombstone. And in the video, you can clearly see someone on a horse slowly riding into the darkness, which would have put me into shock if I was him. And Same. Not only that, like, ooh, being like around tombstones like that,
and,
no way.
And you know, my dad always told me that like the cemeteries in Mexico are always like, they have like these big like tombs, mm-hmm. and it's like different from here in the U.S. I never believed them until I started looking more into like the Charro story, because some people say there's some versions that he pops up in the cemeteries. So I was looking it up, and the cemeteries in Mexico are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, these big, like, tombstones everywhere. And, like, mm-hmm. like it's trippy how it's, like, made. So I'm going to have to show you a picture because I don't think you saw it.
Cemeteries freak me out. Yeah. But I remember, this is off topic, but my dad, I can't remember if it's in Ventura, Porterville, or something like that. Remember he told me one time that there was, like, a mudslide happening? The cemetery was actually built on a hill. So all the freaking coffins rose up and started sliding down the hill. Isn't that crazy? Worst place to put a freaking cemetery. Yeah. I don't know. And then imagine he's like, El Charro, like, is just walking around there on his horse, like, ooh, no way.
Yeah, but it said that some people, after coming in contact with El Charro, have passed away. So I guess my theory on that would probably be, what if he just like is taking their souls because he's mad that he got his taken?
Sometimes
they don't make the deal, unless they did do the deal and he kind of like cheated them out and just took their souls
before
giving them anything.
Honestly, I would never want to see the devil ever in my life, especially after listening, doing this story.
Yeah, guys. And one story before we close it off, my dad has actually told me a story about El Charro Negro. I think he names it differently, but it's the same thing. So when he lived in Mexico, his dad had a big bakery, and this bakery, you know, we've talked about it before because we talked about it in the Llorona one, and we talked about it, I think, in the Duendes one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because my dad said that a bunch of weird stuff would happen in this bakery. It was huge. So at the bottom floor was like the whole bakery and the shop, and on top was floor two, where it was kind of like where the bakers who didn't have a house or anywhere to stay at, there was just a bunch of beds, and they were able to sleep there and then, you know, wake up for work the next day. And then the third floor was kind of like a house where he would stay and his grandma would stay, and then, you know, like other family members would stay up there. And one time in the morning when they were turning it on, they called the corner of the street where the bakery is located at like the Devil's Road or Death's Corner, something like that, because my dad said that there was one time when they were baking bread, and out of nowhere, the temperature felt like really hot, like if something was burning. You know, it's a bakery, so it was common, but they felt like something was like, you know, on fire. So they checked all the ovens and this and that, and a bunch of people started like running inside the bakery. So then my dad and his dad went through the back alley of the bakery, and they saw on the corner, supposedly, he said that they saw a horse and this like dude on fire, and they were just like walking slowly through the street. That's why they would always call it like the Death's Corner, because death, also known as El Charro, would pass by through there.
I wouldn't know what to do in that situation.
Imagine just seeing that.
Heck no. That, like, would scar me for life.
I feel like even seeing that and telling people you saw that,
You just sound crazy
because like they haven't seen it, never seen anything like that.
Probably like, okay, you work in a bakery, you're probably hallucinating, you probably like had a heat stroke or something, you know, the ovens were too hot or something like that. But it's crazy to think that there's stories like this out there.
Mm.
Honestly, there's, you know, more than many that it makes you seem like, okay, this might be believable.
Yeah, and it's literally, a lot of people have stated to see all these like Mexican urban legends.
But if you guys enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to follow us at the Scaredy Cats Podcast on any social media platform to give us any other suggestions of what you guys would like us to talk about on any of our episodes.
Yes, guys, and like we said, if you have your own story of El Charro Negro, or if your parents have told you any, let us know anywhere on social media, because we'd love to read them. But without further ado, we will be back next Wednesday, so we are out.
Peace.